Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
As I speak this morning, I'm like so grateful to God because He knew. And I want you to know He gave me this message back in September when I hadn't really looked at the calendar. But I really feel like this is a message from the Lord this morning for all of us. You know, there's different things that happen in the history of the world that I think release certain spirits into the atmosphere. I think 9/11 was one of those times, the different world wars. And I believe COVID was one of those times when, I will just boldly say, demonic spirits were released into the atmosphere. And unfortunately, I've just sensed and seen some of those worldly spirits of the age, I call them, come into the church. And so this morning's message is a little bit about that. Why does the stuff from the world make its way into the house of God? And currently, there's such a spirit of division. There has been for a while. A spirit of just meanness and being unkind and division. And it has found its way into churches. Perhaps not this one, but the church of God, the church as a whole. I'm grateful that we have a healthy church, fairly healthy church, right? We all have places to grow, but there are some churches that have Pastor can attest to this. Some churches just totally split and fell apart during COVID. And I'm so grateful that we made it through intact. Thanks be to the grace of God. But I personally just want to call out the spirit of the age that has perhaps found its place into this place, maybe not making itself super known, but you know within you that there's been a bit of anger, a bit of maybe unkind thoughts, words. Strife, division, where you can't, if you see someone, you avoid them, you don't sit by them, you get that kind of, you know, that kind of gross feeling inside you. I know that feeling, but so what causes division? And by no means is this a complete list, but I'm just sharing with you what the Lord showed me, and I don't say that lightly. What causes division? Number one, differing opinions. So do you ever stop to think, what forms your opinions? It's just kind of known that our opinions are formed sometimes by our upbringing, by what our parents have taught us, sometimes by our education. We form opinions. Our experience, our life experience, can sometimes form opinions. Our faith, our belief system, forms our opinions. If we have a Christian worldview, that tends to form some of our opinions. So it's no wonder that we have very different opinions, because your life experience is different than mine, your education could be different than mine, right? So all those things affect what we think about things. I think also the impact of social media cannot be overlooked. I felt like Pastor was going to preach part of my message last week, but I'm sticking to it. Even if it's a repeat, then I figure God really wants us to hear it. You know, I am so grateful I grew up in an age where there was no social media. Like, to know somebody's opinion about something, you actually had to sit across a table from them and treat them like a human being. That's how you knew somebody's opinion, kids. It wasn't, social media is full of people's opinions about things that we can differ from, even to, let's argue about who has the best burger. I don't know, Five Guys, I think Culver's, I think McDonald's. Nobody thinks that, but I'm just giving it as an example. Yeah. So let's maybe be aware of how much social media is affecting your opinion, your belief system. And I think really, it hit me, like, if I think my opinion is the right one, in a way that is a form of idolatry. We are making our opinions an idol in our lives to the point where, so what is an idol? Like, anything that exalts itself above God in our lives can be many different things. But when it comes to our beliefs or our opinions, if we care more about holding to our opinion than we do about the precious people that we do life with, the problem is with us. The problem is with us, and we need to take a look. 2 Timothy 3:2, in that whole book, I love 1 and 2 Timothy, but he warns us that people would become lovers of themselves, and that's part of that. We just love ourselves. We love hearing ourselves talk. We love spewing our opinions out there in social media or to others, and there's a lot of pride that goes with that. You are entitled to hold your thoughts and your opinions, but it becomes a problem when you destroy other people with those thoughts and opinions. If we care more about our opinions than we care about the people around us, the problem is within us and not with that other person. Truly. The spirit of the age wants to make the issues the most important thing. It's deceptive that way. And I do have to preface this by saying it doesn't mean that we don't stand for truth, believe truth, speak truth in love, own truth, and align with truth. That's not what I'm talking about. Of course we do. We can hate certain opinions that go against God's word. We can dislike them. We can disagree with them. But that doesn't mean that we hate the people. Also part of his message last week. And there's a biblical warning. I mean, nothing new under the sun, right, they say. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 10. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church. Rather, be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. For some members of Chloe's household have told me about your quarrels. My dear brothers and sisters, some of you are saying, I'm a follower of Paul. Others are saying, I follow Apollos, or I follow Peter, or I follow only Christ. Has Christ been divided into factions? Was I, Paul, crucified for you? Were any of you baptized in the name of Paul? Of course not. And that word divisions in the ancient Greek is schismata, which doesn't really mean like a faction or a party. Interesting word, a party. but it means to tear or rend. And so Paul is pleading with the Corinthian church to quit ripping each other apart, to quit tearing up the body of Christ. So differing opinions. Second thing I felt the Lord show me or tell me that causes division in the church is offense. Any of you ever been offended? Like, I should ask, any of you ever been offended just today? You can be sure that offense will come. Luke 17:1 says, it is impossible that no offenses should come. It is part of this life, unfortunately. We shouldn't be shocked when that happens. But the enemy loves when a believer walks away from the church because they're offended. The enemy loves when we have internal struggle, mental struggle over offense, where we just continue to go over it in our minds. Some of us, I think, have personalities that are kind of bent that way. I had a friend once that said, Sue, you like to beat a dead horse, bring it back to life, and then beat it back dead again. It is my personality. Some of you are more of a water off a duck's back kind of person. I'm like, this is going to take me a few days. I got to work through this. So I don't know which side you're on with that, but we all have our ways of dealing with it. But I'll tell you, the enemy loves it when you have internal struggle about it. The enemy loves when he can create the spirit of the age to come into this house, into his church, and create an atmosphere where there's a lot of offense and chaos. And I'll tell you, offense holds hands with pride. Offense and pride are closely linked. They hold hands together. Pride keeps us from acknowledging our own sin and our own broken relationships, and it keeps us from healing and deliverance. Think about that. If you struggle with offenses and even strong opinions, ask the Lord to expose if there's enormous amounts of pride in your life. What causes you to be that way? You know, the Lord kind of gave me this visual. I have no props today. That I just wanted to say that. My husband said, yeah, I wondered if you need me to carry anything in. If you know me, if you don't, I usually use props. But here's a visual prop for you. Now, women will probably be able to relate to this a little more than men will. Men, just bear with me here for a minute. Maybe you can think of something that you're like, oh, yeah, that's like when I do this. But women, I don't know if you've ever taken out a box of tangled necklaces. I'll tell you, the temptation is to just throw the box away. Or Christmas lights. I was doing that yesterday. I don't know if you've ever tried to untangle Christmas lights. It's not fun because all those bulbs get caught around the little hook thing, and then you're just like, eh. They're a buck at the dollar store. I'm throwing these out. I'm going to go and just buy new lights, right? Yeah. The $1.25 store. Let me correct that. But I saw this kind of vision of the tangled necklaces, the tangled chains, and how if we take off a necklace and don't take care of it properly and we just throw it in the drawer, and if you have a few necklaces, the next time you want to go and wear that necklace, it's all tangled up with the other necklaces or maybe even some bracelets. And if any of you have ever had to undo necklaces, I have recently, it takes patience. And it can be frustrating. In fact, this necklace I'm wearing this morning, I was here early and I realized my necklace is tangled. I didn't even notice it until I was trying to move this little bead up and down, and I realized it was all tangled up and I couldn't work the necklace the way it was created to be worked. So I feel like that's how it is with hurting relationships. If we don't take care of them properly, it's just easy to throw them in a drawer. Or all the offenses that you might, you know, wow, I was offended 10 years ago. It's still in the drawer. And it's tangled up with the offense from 7 years ago, and from yesterday, and from my childhood, and from what that teacher said to me when I was in fourth grade. And they're all tangled up. The thing is that sometimes those situations that cause offense can actually be really beautiful things. They can actually teach us really important lessons. They can actually refine our character if we let them. But they've lost their purpose when they're tangled up. And I feel like the Lord wants to say to you today, you need to go into that drawer. You need to go into that place of your heart where all that stuff has gotten tangled up and you think you can just ignore it. And it's time to take the patience with the help of God and with His grace and start to untangle them. And it's going to be frustrating. And it might cause pain. But once you do that, they're usable again. That relationship is usable again. That relationship can bring beauty again. But the enemy has loved to see you push it in a drawer. But I'll tell you something, it comes out sideways. It will come out one way or the other. Sometimes you might wonder, wow, why did I react to that way? It's because of the tangled offenses. And another thing that I feel like I want to bring out in agreement with that is that we live in a world and we live in a spirit of the age where there's no resilience anymore. Like, we don't need to be quite so touchy about things. So there is offense, but sometimes is it necessary? We need to be resilient people. And I'll tell you, if you know who you are in Christ Jesus, if you know your purpose, if you know who He created you to be, if you are confident that you are the way you are, faults and all, if you know that God is your defender, offense will not eat your lunch. You won't need to be so defensive. And I brought this book up here. This is probably one of my all-time favorite books. I just am holding it up. Because right now I just want to pause and say, if you struggle with being offended, God wants to break that pattern in your life. And this is probably one of the best books ever written on the subject of offense. It's called The Bait of Satan by John Bevere. So get yourself a copy. We have a couple in the copy room, and I'd be happy to give you one. You don't have to even buy the book. God wants to set you free. The other thing that I have 3 and 4 points that I think have caused division, unforgiveness. Offense often leads to a life that's drowning in unforgiveness. And you know that. If somebody offends you, the first human response is to not forgive them. I don't want to sit by them. I don't want to go near them. I want to just avoid them, whether it's in the community, but I'm talking to the church today. I know that you've heard a lot of messages about unforgiveness and forgiving. Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God is Christ forgave you." You've all heard plenty of messages about forgiveness. I don't need to probably belabor it. But unforgiveness is such a lie to the children of God. If offense is the trap, as John Bevere states in this book, I think unforgiveness is the lock. It locks it up that you don't deal with it. And unforgiveness causes emotional, spiritual, and I will even say it is scientifically proven that unforgiveness can cause physical illness. There are certain illnesses that are rooted in unforgiveness. There is demonic oppression that is rooted in unforgiveness. When you do deliverance ministry, it's one of the first things you ask people. Is there anybody in your life you have not forgiven? It is a doorway to Satan. I'm going to say it bluntly, but it is. Because God wants to set people free in this place. Unforgiveness can cause generational curses. And you might say, well, you know, easy for you to say, Sue. And some of you are newer to this church and you don't know my testimony, but I grew up in a very dysfunctional, abusive home. And if any of you can relate to that, because some of you might be sitting there thinking, easy for you to say, you don't know what I've been through in my life. Victim mentality. I do have some idea of what it is to have such pain inflicted upon you that the world would say to you, how could you ever forgive them? Oh, how I despise that line. Oh, how I despise it. Because through Christ, we can do all things. I can forgive my abusive father. My childhood was one of dysfunction, fear, abuse, just a lot of pain watching my mother be abused. But you know, when I got saved at 16, I felt a huge conviction from the Lord to forgive my father. And I won't go into all the details, but only through him was I able to forgive my dad. Like truly forgive him to the point where I could have a relationship with him again. And I'm not going to get into all the therapy and psychology of this because there are times we need to put up certain boundaries with people. But by then I was an adult or getting to be an adult, able to think on my own, make my own decisions about it. And my thoughts and my beliefs were built on the word of God, not what the world said. And the word of God told me that I should forgive. And so I'm not saying it was easy, and I'm not saying it happened overnight, but it happened to the place where I had a repaired relationship with my dad. It wasn't perfect, but that's okay. I could talk to him and not feel sick to my stomach. I could break bread with him and not be sick to my stomach. Didn't have to fake it. And you know, my dad died suddenly of a heart attack when I was 26 years old. And I was the only one of my four siblings that had a relationship with my dad. And I'll tell you, you never want to stand at somebody's grave and have unforgiveness in your heart. I think it's probably one of the worst feelings, because in the end, it's not worth it. And the unforgiveness says more about me than it said about my dad. And then, you know, the test comes again. I had a rather serious issue with another family member, a sibling, and the test came again. My father's abuse was to me. My brother's abuse was to one of my children. It's like the test, right? The test gets tougher. You moms know, you can mess with me, don't you dare mess with my kids. right? So it went on for years, and I kept hearing God say, did you learn nothing? Do you want to stand at his grave one day knowing that you had not forgiven him? I'm sorry. So this summer, I was able to give my brother a hug, and I felt it all wash away. And this is not anything in me. You know, because you live on this earth. You live in relationship with people. It is almost impossible to do in our own strength. It is only Christ in me that made that possible. Now, we're not going to be holding hands, dancing, swinging around, you know, yeah, right? That's not what I'm saying. But I know before my God that I have forgiven him. And that's what matters. What the enemy meant for evil, Genesis 50, 19, and 20, Joseph said, God meant it for good. And it's part of my testimony. I gotta speed up here, okay? And then the last thing that I feel like causes division in the church is a lack of communication. Whatever happened to actually just sitting across from somebody? I know, if you're like me, how many of you hate confrontation? I sure do. I sure do. But don't allow that people-pleasing stuff in you. Don't allow that to keep you from having honest, mature, adult dialogue with people. Sometimes we put little thought bubbles over people's heads. Sometimes we hear people wrong. Sometimes we hear people right. And what they said offended us, and maybe we need to just take them to coffee and just talk it out, hug it out. Sometimes I feel like those really subtle little areas of division in the church are the most dangerous because they're the ones that we try to ignore. I think of them like fireflies in the summer sky. I went out this summer, and you walk towards the firefly, and as soon as you get close to it, it disappears. And then another one appears over here. You'll never catch, well, some people catch them in jars. I don't know how you do that, but they're subtle, and they can disappear like a vapor, and then they're back again. Like it just comes back, oh, I remember what she said about me. Oh, I remember that she didn't invite me to her, I don't know, what are the parties nowadays? I remember she didn't invite me to her little party. Some of you men are laughing, but I'm just saying it's what we do. So, like, it's silly, right? Like, just saying it sounds silly, but it's real. I know women who just won't go by other women because it was this tiny little firefly of an offense. But if I know I'm valuable in God's sight, I could care less who invites me to their party. I could care less who chooses to be my friend or who doesn't. Or who, whatever. There's got to be hope in this, Sue. Please tell me. You're kind of depressing me now. So here are the solutions. This is what I feel like the solutions are, and I'm going to run through them really quickly. Like the clock there. Okay, the solutions. Deal with pride. Deal with the pride in your life and stubbornness within your own heart. Ask yourself, why is this so important for me to hang on to? Pride keeps us from admission. Admission keeps us from repentance. Lack of repentance keeps us from full healing and walking healed and victorious in Christ Jesus. 2, approach the issue head on. Don't skirt around it. either with the person directly or with God. Because I will say, sometimes it is not at all helpful to come up to your brother or sister in Christ, put your arm around them and say, you got to forgive me. I've really hated you for about 5 years now. I've had it happen. It's not helpful. It's not helpful. And I think there's a bit of pride even in that. It's exalting oneself and your feelings above the feelings of your brother or sister in Christ. They might not need to know that. You could send them in a spiral of beating dead horses. I'm just saying. It's selfish to relieve oneself of an offense at the expense of damaging a brother or sister in Christ. You can take it up with God. Allow him to bring the healing. 3, ask God for his eyes for those around you. This was so key in my forgiveness of my father. I asked God, God, would you give me your eyes for him? And back in that day, there was a song called Father's Eyes. James, you know it. I'm sure you do. And I'm sure the words of that song took me down that path of, oh, give me my father's eyes. I have my father's eyes, my biological father's eyes. But give me my heavenly father's eyes for them. And when I went to India back a few years ago, when I saw the village my father grew up in, when I heard the stories, it was just confirmed to me, I did not know what my father had been through in his life. I didn't know the abuse he had suffered that caused him to be that way. So ask God to give you eyes for the people or the lady in the grocery store yesterday that was really rude to me. True story. Happens probably a lot. But, you know, I was like, she's going through something. For her to act that way, she's going through something. Don't be offended by that. She can call you whatever she wants to call you. Look in the mirror. Don't point fingers. Sometimes we just don't know what people are going through in their lives. 4, I said approach it head on. 4, deal with it right away. Do you know what happens to a splinter if you leave it? Yeah, it can get worse or infected. Or even worse, could I suggest you get used to it. You grow comfortable with it. Lord, help us never grow comfortable with our offenses and our unforgiveness. Pray for those who persecute you. 5:44. But I say, love your enemies. Woo. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you'll be acting as true children of God, of your Father in heaven. It's part of the deal with it right away. That's one of my little things I do. I just immediately go to prayer for that person and then for me. When the feelings come, stop and pray. Keep a guard over your mouth and your thoughts. 16:24. Kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. There is nothing like, have you ever faced kind of an angry person? I won't say the female name, but have you ever like just faced them with sweet words? Like responded back with real, I used to get this when I worked at Tyson's because you're dealing with the public a lot and some people get really angry, right, Kara? She was my boss at Tyson's back in the day. And I'll tell you, nothing shut, especially on Black Friday, man, oh man, nothing shuts that down like just being sweet. Try it. Try it. 12:18. Some people make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise bring healing. Do you want to be a healer? Do you want to be part of the answer and not part of the problem? Choose your words carefully. If you're like me, I am reactionary. My husband says, pastor says, and I remember this, just because somebody says something doesn't mean you have to respond. That's against my nature. I feel like if somebody says something, I get really defensive, right? Like I gotta explain why I can't do this or do that or, right? As I get older and care less, also hopefully growing in my relationship with the Lord, I'm kind of more just like, I don't have to respond to this right now. I need to take this home and cry a little and pray. And I would say the same for your thoughts. As Pastor mentioned last week, again, we're on the same wavelength. The whole thing about that scripture in Matthew 5:28 says, you know, if a man commits adultery in his thoughts, it's as he's done it in his heart, it's basically that you've done it. And scripture talks about how gossip is murder. There's just different things that in scripture that show me that it matters where my thoughts are. Because you might say, I would never say anything mean. I would never say anything mean to somebody, but your thoughts are so ugly and evil and nasty. Just because it doesn't come out of your mouth doesn't mean it's not there somewhere. Be careful of your thoughts. Your words destroy others. Your thoughts destroy you. Hebrews 12:14, strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Number 7, keep a godly perspective, not a worldly one. This was kind of the base scripture that I wrote down first. Romans 2:1-4. I'm going to read it. I know it's a little long. You may think you can condemn such people, but you are just as bad, and you have no excuse. When you say they are wicked and should be punished, you're condemning yourself. For you who judge others do the very same things. And we know that God, in his justice, will punish anyone who does such things. Since you judge others for doing these things, why do you think you can avoid God's judgment when you do the same things? Don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from your sin? I want you to write that scripture down and remember it through these next months. Look in the mirror, don't point the finger. Lastly, take personal inventory. You cannot control others. I'll just give you a little hint. Usually blasting your opinions on Facebook, it's not going to convince anybody otherwise than what they already believe. It really won't. I mean, think about you. Does it change your mind? I always say, at the end of the day, can I lay my head on my pillow and know that I'm okay with God? Or is there something ugly inside me? Is there something eating away inside of me? And my prayer today is that God brings that to the surface, even if you've pushed it down for years. I'm in my late 50s. My dad died when I was 26. It feels easier at the time to push it down. I know that, friends. But you need to take a personal inventory of your life. Are you easily offended? Is there a pattern of offense in your life? Is there a pattern of unforgiveness? Do you have relationship problems? Like, do you continually have these types of problems? Then I would suggest to you with all the love in my heart, the problem is within you. How can all those other people be the problem, right? The problem is within you. And we need a church that is healthy. We need a church where people can sit beside people that might have slight different political views, can I say? Is it too soon? I truly believe that it doesn't please God to have anger and resentment and hatred towards people that think differently than you. They answer to God. You answer to God. Who do you think God cares about in that situation with you? He cares about you and how you're dealing with it. You can't control other people. You can't control how they interpret the Bible. You can pray for them. And for yourself, because none of us, as it said in Romans, are without fault in this. But how many people have we kicked away from the table of our lives? And I see it happening more and more, and I do believe it's a spirit of the age coming into the church, into the body of Christ. And I want to rebuke it out of here today. In closing, down the hallway over there, the office hallway, there's a line of chairs that we walk past. We've walked past now for weeks because they're kind of broken. You maybe noticed in the fellowship hall, some have been taken away. They're kind of wobbly, and they're lined up there. And I was walking out one day, and I felt like God said, you know, there's some people in the church that could use these chairs. Maybe practically, but I'm speaking spiritually. You need to start adding some chairs back to the table of your life. We're in the business of getting rid of chairs that represent people, that represent hospitality, that represent love, that represent tenderheartedness, that represent humility, that represent just respect, decent human respect. So I will say, if you need a chair, please go grab one. Like, seriously, grab one. But let them be... Oh, the ones in the hallway, yes. You'll see them. They're lined up against the wall. So in closing today... And I kind of sensed it earlier that there really needs to be a response. Because I feel like this is pretty serious stuff. And I do feel like, you know, sometimes I wonder, if you've ever read that book, This Present Darkness, sometimes I wonder how differently we would act if we could actually see the demonic. If you've never read it, read it. It's really good. But if we walked out there and we could actually see the demonic, which I believe in, if we could see the spirits of unforgiveness floating around, if we could see the spirits of strife, and fear, and bitterness. I wonder if we'd maybe take care of some of this stuff in our lives. Because this building isn't a place for that. These are your brothers and sisters. You know, I cling to that scripture. Who is your brother, your sister, your mother, your father? It is those who believe the same as you do. Because of my dysfunctional family, you are, you know, the world may have taken my biological brother away from me. But Jesus gave me Randy Ushold. Jesus gave me Bill. Jesus gave me Bob. Robert. If I didn't mention her name, please don't be offended. I always say John Bevere is my spiritual father. I feel like he talks to me the way my dad should have, could have, should have. You're my family. So may there be forgiveness in the house of God. May all offense wash away in the river of his mercy. It's not worth it. It hurts you more than it hurts them. And I'll tell you, there is nothing more beautiful on, like, just the feeling of having that released from your life. It's like this huge burden just lifted. And you feel happier. And you feel like you can love others better. And I believe that's what God wants for us people. So I thank you for allowing me to just share that with you today. Because we live in a world of very differing views, and that's not going to change. But can we love people, please? Can we love people? No matter. And I know scripture talks about being careful who you sit at a table with, and I'm not going to go through those exclusions, because that's not what this message is about. And I believe each one of those points could be a message in and of their own.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.